Well, good morning, Bethel. It is sure great to be here with you. It always feels a bit like coming home. All my buddies are here, and I love being here at Bethel and so excited to be here with you. Isn't the worship team so great? Oh, okay, come on. Isn't Steve Gammon so cool? Steve, that's right. Yeah. That's what I thought too. You know, I'm super excited to be here, and I'm really excited to be part of this preaching series, which is all about parables that teach us about God's upside-down kingdom. You know, parables are stories that Jesus used to help us understand what it means to be his apprentice and what it means to be part of his kingdom. And we call his kingdom an upside-down kingdom because God's ways are opposite of human nature. And they're very often surprising ways. They're very often ways where God asks us to do a 180 in our thinking or in our living. So this morning's sermon is number 8 out of 9. It's episode 8, I like to call it. So if you're a Star Wars fan, any Star Wars fans here? Anyone heard of Star Wars? Okay. So if you know about Star Wars, that makes this sermon The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're almost at the end of the series, right? But who knows if it goes well? Who knows what kind of spin-offs will happen? I mean, it worked for Disney, right? So this series could just go on and on and on. We're not sure. I've been here for 2 of the sermons in the series and absolutely love them. But if you've missed a bunch like I have, you can go to the website, the Bethel website. Did you know there's a Bethel website? Did you know there's an internet out there? Yeah, it's worldwide almost. And you can go there and all the sermons are online. Right, Amanda? Yes, they're all online. Now this morning, I'd like to make the Upside Down series even more upside down, because that's what I do. I take things to the next level. So we're going to do things even more different. And I'm not going to do a typical sermon. Although, I don't know, maybe you don't have typical sermons here at Bethel, I'm not sure. But first, what I'd like to do is share a bit about our ministry and about our story at Geneva over the last 6 years. And then I want to tie that into a key piece of scripture that's pretty much a parable, but doesn't get official parable status. It's a passage about the kingdom that's really turned Geneva House upside down. And then finally, to finish it off, I'd like to highlight 3 points. So it'll feel like a sermon. There'll be 3 points, 3 big things that God has been teaching us about his kingdom. And I'm hoping that as I share some of our story, it'll somehow interconnect with your story and somehow God will speak to you this morning. So does that sound okay to you? Okay. If not, I'll pray in a second and you can just sneak right at the back and no one will even know. Hey, there's a sermon handout in the bulletin. Curtis, you want to hand that up, throw that up there? That's going to kick in right around the time when those 3 points happen. Okay, you'll notice that. So it'll be deep into the sermon. And that's there for you to remember some of the things that we talk about and also to figure out when the sermon's almost over. So, before we begin, would you pray with me, please? Lord God, I want to thank you so much for Bethel, for this community, its members and its regular attenders and anyone who's here for the first time. I thank you. They're part of the family today. And I thank you for all the ways that you're working here, all the ways you're working in each one of our lives, and all the ways that we get to work together with them, with Geneva and Bethel. Lord, as we spend some time reflecting on your work on campus, as we reflect on scripture, we pray that you would stir within us, Holy Spirit. Help us to be open to what you want to say to us. And then speak, Lord. Speak to our hearts and challenge us and transform us and help us to see what you're calling us to do for your kingdom. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, our ministry, as Carrie mentioned, our ministry on campus is called Geneva House. There it is. There's a picture of Geneva House, corner of Union and Frontenac. Anyone ever been to Geneva House before? Okay, so you guys have seen this place, right? Corner of Union and Frontenac, right across from the School of Business. It's a great place. We got a trouble with bats right now, so you might want to go in until September. Anyway, Geneva House is actually a home for students. So 6 of them live there. And we do ministry with a big focus on being family and being community. Now, I came to Geneva House around 11 years-ish ago, and I absolutely love campus ministry. It's so rewarding to invest in the next generation. And campus ministry is always so exciting. It's always filled with lots of blessings and lots of the unexpected. Like one time, a few years ago, I went to a volleyball game, and guess who I wound up meeting? Stephen Harper. Now that was a few years ago, so no one cares now, right? But back then it was a big deal, right? And one of our students was named Tyler. He used to go here, and he said, "Steve, come to my volleyball game." So I said, "Sure." And it was a great game. And I was like, "Hey, Megan and Izzy, my two daughters. I only have two daughters. They're the two youngest and oldest, but you can see the." Anyway, they're like, "Dad, don't embarrass me today." I'm like, "Oh, I'm trying. Anyway, Julia couldn't go. She was speaking at a women's retreat, I think. So I was like, "Come on, girls, let's go down to watch Tyler's game." So we watched the game, and afterwards I was like, "Let's go find Tyler and say hi to him," right? So I looked around, and we were in the stands, and I was looking for Tyler, and I looked down the floor of the gym, and there I saw Stephen Harper. And he was kind of standing there all by himself. And I felt bad for him. So I said, "Come on, girls, let's go meet the Prime Minister. Let's go make his day." So we went down, but then I was like, "Can I just do this? You know, like, can I just go up to him?" And I was like, So I kind of scoped out the area a little bit, and I looked around, and then I saw someone who had one of these things in his ear, and a bit of a thicker neck, right? And so I was like, "Oh, okay, this must be a security guard, right?" So I went up to him and I said, "Hey, can we go meet the Prime Minister?" And do you know what he said to me? He said, "Hmm." So I took that to mean, of course. He and I would love that very much. And so I was like, "Okay, come on, girls, let's just go." And so we went down, and I introduced myself, and I said I was a pastor at the university, a chaplain, and then he said to me, "Would you like to have a picture?" I thought, "Well, I can't say no to that, right? How bad would he feel?" And so I was like, sure. So I kind of snuggled up beside him, and we were having a bit of a moment. And then he turned to me and he said, "Do you think we should get the girls in the picture?" I said, "What girls?" And I looked down. Now, Megan and Izzy were much shorter in those days. And so I looked down, and they're just kind of watching this whole thing all unfold. So I was like, yeah. Come on over, girls. Now, everything was going really well up until that point. But I don't know if it was the atmospheric pressure in the gym or if it was Stephen Harper's magnetic personality. But as soon as Izzy stood in front of Stephen Harper, her hair stood straight up and then went all over his shirt. You know, massive static clean. Have you ever experienced something like that? You know what I'm talking about? Right? It was all over. And I was like, "Oh, no. Like, what am I going to do?" And he handled it pretty well. He was kind of like, "Oh." And he kind of stepped back like that. And I was like, "I better get in there." So I started brushing the hair off Stephen Harper's belly. And it wasn't until much later I realized that security guard was probably ready to pounce on me at any moment. He didn't, thankfully. It was a pretty hair-raising situation, though. Just had to throw that one in there. Anyway, so the picture was taken. It was pretty slick. He had his own photographer. Who doesn't? And then, I turned to him and I said, "You know, thanks so much for all your leadership. Now, we don't have to talk politics today. Mark wanted me to say we need to make America great again. But I said, 'No, I'm not going to say that, Mark.' I said, 'I'm not going to say that.' So glad I didn't. It doesn't matter where you are politically. I know what it means to be a leader and how hard that can be. And can you imagine the pressures of leading the country, right? So I said, 'Thanks so much for your leadership and all that you do.' And then he turned to me. And do you know what he said? He said, 'You're welcome, and may God bless you in your ministry.' Isn't that cool? I was blessed by the Prime Minister. Total unexpected blessings, right? And campus ministry is always so exciting. You never know how God is going to bless you next. You never know who the people are that God is going to put into your life. And so it's a lot of fun. It's very exciting. And as I look at what God's doing on campus, I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for students, staff, and faculty that we get to work with every day. And I'm so thankful for churches like you who partner with us in our mission. You're such a blessing to us, and I just want to say thank you so much. Now, our big goal is to be an incredible community where people experience Jesus and they experience his transformation in their lives. Now, we believe with all of our heart that God loves the campus, and so we love it. And we welcome everyone to experience Jesus through meaningful community and relationships. We spend a lot of our time investing deeply in people, inviting them to grow as followers of Jesus and as leaders in his kingdom. We help people get connected with God and the transformation he wants to bring in their lives. And I think that we all have a longing for transformation. I believe we all have a deep yearning inside of us, a deep desire to be something more than we are right now, to become someone that God has made us to be. We're not always sure what that means, but I believe that there is something inside of us that desires transformation. And I also believe that God wants to change us all for the better and to transform our lives in ways that we could never even imagine. Now, in the last number of years in particular, we've seen so much transformation in so many students' lives. You know, students are becoming followers of Jesus. They're getting baptized. I even had the opportunity to baptize someone here one time in the fancy tank you guys have. Students are learning to listen to God's direction and the Spirit's leading in their life. How cool is that? They're joining God in his mission, and they are becoming more like Jesus. And I consider it an amazing gift to be able to invest in the lives of the next generation. That, you know what? This next generation is so full of potential. We're investing in students who are studying to become lawyers and doctors and nurses and engineers and teachers and so many more things. And they're coming from all over Canada, and they're coming from all over the world. And I believe that God wants to raise up this next generation for incredible purposes. And our world needs some transformation. Wouldn't you agree? Well, I believe that God wants to use this next generation to powerfully impact our communities and our world. And it's just such a blessing to join God in his work in their lives in this preparation stage. Well, about 6 years ago, I said I'd share a little bit about our story, right? So about 6 years ago, we entered into a new stage of ministry at Geneva House. Something started to feel a little bit different. I couldn't quite pinpoint it, but there was just something different happening. All of a sudden, I started to experience some transformation in my life like never before. In our ministry, just there's transformation happening. Things started to become more fruitful. And we were beginning to see some real tangible outcomes for all the investments that we were making, which was exciting. Now, in particular, our discipleship groups that we call huddles were really starting to take off. Students were starting to experience some significant growth, and I was really excited about what God was doing. But I was also feeling really stretched. Right? At that time, we just started, we had four huddles, and I was leading all four. And it was going really well, but I was just feeling kind of maxed out. 15 students were being discipled at a really great depth by me personally. But what about the other 17,000 students, the other 17,000 undergrads, right? What about the 4,500 grad students on top of that? If I was already maxed out with 15, how in the world were we going to reach the campus for Christ? Well, I was struggling with this with great angst. And every morning, as I was struggling through this, I was reading the book of Matthew. Well, one morning I came upon this section in chapter 9 that I want to share with you. It says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Do you see the transformation that was going on in people's lives? People's lives were being changed forever. Their lives were being turned upside down for the good. When Jesus saw the crowds, these overwhelming numbers of people, when I read that, I think of Frosh Week, When Jesus saw these overwhelming numbers of people, these crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You know, when I read those words, they struck me so deeply. And I remember saying, "Yes, God, yes, that's exactly what's going on right here, right now. The harvest is plentiful. There are thousands upon thousands of students to reach. There's so much work to be done. We got to do something. What are we going to do to reach all these people who need you?" Well, then I read the very next verse, and here's what God said to me. "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, to be honest, that wasn't what I was expecting. You know, I was hoping that God would infuse me with some sort of superpower so I could do more and I could just have a greater personal capacity for ministry. Right? I thought maybe I could just disciple faster, like a Christian Flash. Anyone watching The Flash these days? Yeah, it's a good show, kind of fast moving. Fast paced, is that better? Fast paced? Okay, it's just bad altogether. Anyway, I thought maybe I could just huddle at mock speed, right? If I could do things faster, we could pump out more followers of Jesus that way. That's how we could reach the campus, God. But that's not what God was suggesting in this verse. He said, "Pray for more workers." Well, I was a little disappointed because I wanted those superpowers. But I decided to try it God's way, God's upside down way. And you know what I've realized? God's way is always the best way. It's not always the easiest way. In fact, I'm not sure it's ever the easiest way. God's way is not always natural for me. It's not always the way that I want, but God's way is the best way. Does anyone else know what I'm talking about this morning? Give me a holy head nod if you know. Yes. Oh, you guys are so energetic. Yes, yes, yes. So I started praying for more workers. Now, I didn't know what that meant. It was pretty clear in Scripture, so I was like, "Okay, let's do this, God." So I started praying for more workers. Then I started asking other people to pray for more workers. I asked my wife, Julia, and I'm like, "We got to go wider." So I started asking supporting churches and others, anyone I knew who prayed, "Would you pray for more workers?" I have no idea what this means. So we started praying. Well, this is crazy. Do you know what happened? God answered our prayers in ways that I could never have even imagined. I didn't have a specific plan in mind. I didn't know what God was going to do. But what God did was he started stirring up in people and started calling them to mission with us. This is crazy. Within just a couple months, we went from a staff team of two, which was me and Paul Hanash, one of our students. We went from two to a team of six just within a couple months. Isn't that kind of crazy? Tell me it's crazy. That's what I thought. All of a sudden, we had a staff team, and we'd never had that before. Now, staff are really important in campus ministry because one of the biggest challenges we face in campus ministry is constant turnover, right? Students always come, but guess what students always do? They always go. It's like leaving you at the altar. They just rip your heart out, and off goes Dave DeVries to another place. This is the curse of campus ministry, right? Students always go, and we love them, and we send them. That's what we do. But with staff, there's more stability, right? You can build more of a team with staff. Does that make sense? Okay, so all of a sudden we had staff, but that's not all. You know, our student leader team started to grow like crazy too. Students kept coming and coming and wanting to join our team, and our team got bigger and bigger, and here's a little picture of what it looked like last year. That's at our year-end banquet. And that's not even everybody, because we had over 40 leaders last year. Isn't that crazy? Now, hopefully you recognize a few of these people. Many of them go to Bethel or have gone to Bethel. There's some really great people. Nancy Smith's in there. Do you know Nancy Smith? Bethel supports Nancy in her ministry to the internationals, and I think she's in Connecticut today, so she couldn't be here. She heard I was preaching, so she decided to get as far away as she could. You know, Candace Laffram-Waz is in there, and so many students who are part of Bethel actually go to Geneva House. So I've just been so blown away at a huge ministry team that have been as the result of prayer. I believe each one joined us because they were sent. They were sent by God as an answer to our and your prayers. Isn't God amazing? Now, as I reflect back on all this, I'm just totally blown away at what God has done. And God has changed our ministry in ways that I never even imagined. Turned it upside down. And I realized in the end, I did get a superpower after all. I got a super team of staff and student leaders, each with special gifts that they are using to build God's kingdom in powerful ways and at just the right speed. God is doing way more now because we're working as a team, and I'm not trying to do it all by myself. Now, we've got just 2 weeks, as Carrie mentioned, 2 weeks from today till frosts start coming back. And so our program lineup is still in flux, but here's a quick sneak peek at what we're planning. Quick sneak peek, you can see what's going on. So our huddle groups, I mentioned, those are our discipleship groups, right? Where students are learning to follow Jesus, to listen to the Spirit, and live out the mission. We started with 4. Last year we had over 26. Wow, God's good. We're hoping to run Alpha this year. It's been updated and newly revamped. It's fresh and cool, kind of like Broncos, you know? Who thinks Broncos is fresh and cool? That's right. I hear that. International Ministry Soup Supper. You know, Soup Supper is one of our biggest programs. 60 to 80 students will come every week, a mix of fellowships, Christians, non-Christians. It's really a big family meal. That means we need a lot of soup. You know, one of our most faithful soup makers is Tamara Barrett, who's here today somewhere. Man, aren't you always saying, I wish I could be more like Tamara? I know I am. And the good news this morning is you can be more like Tamara because you could make soup for us. Now, no pressure. I'm just planting that idea, and I'm just going to make the invitation and see if anything stirs up. Okay, anyway, moving on. This cool ministry, I'm sorry I didn't get on this morning, but called Rooted, that Bethel and Geneva are working together, and it's all about learning about dating and relationships from a Christian perspective. Isn't that a good idea? Don't you think our society needs that right now? Awesome stuff. Exciting news, St. Lawrence College Ministry has really taken off, and one of our staff members, Kathy Deering, who is now the official chaplain at St. Lawrence College. Right? Isn't that awesome? So if you're involved with St. Lawrence, come and talk to me. We've got some great new stuff going on. Also at Loyalist in Belleville. And if you know anyone going there, we could use your help there. Anyway, I could go on and on. There's mission houses and just great stuff. God is just doing so many amazing things, and we're just trying to keep up. As I think about all that God has been doing and all that God has been teaching me about being a worker in his kingdom, there are 3 things I want to share with you this morning. 3 quick but important kingdom principles. And this is where that sermon handout will kick in. So as I reflect back on all of this, there are 3 kingdom principles I want to share. And to help us remember these principles, we're going to use the shape of a triangle. Okay, it's going to get really high tech here. Strap yourself in. So the first thing I've been learning through all of this journey is how important it is to connect deeply with God. To connect deeply with God. You know, my life and our ministry changed when I started going deeper with God. I started going deeper than just a surface level reading of the Bible. I actually started spending time listening to what God wanted to say to me, listening to his directions, and I started to fill myself with more and more of the Spirit, following him. And as a result, I experienced incredible transformation, and the overflow from that has just been incredible. I firmly believe that if we want to see transformation in the people around us, we first need to work on transformation within us. Each of us has to work on our own personal transformation. That's where it all begins, and it starts with our connection with God. In John 10, Jesus says this, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." So here's some questions to think about. How well do you know God? How deep is your connection with him? And what can you do to go deeper? We need to connect with God. That's the first point. The second thing I'm learning is how important to connect with others. To connect with others. You know, God made us to live in community. The problem is we can often get lost in the crowd, just like in Jesus' day. You know, when I invite people to join a huddle, I always ask this question. Do you have some people in your life that you can go really deep with? Do you have a tight group of people that you can really open up and share everything with? And do you know what? Most people that I ask don't have a group like that. They've got a lot of surface relationships. A lot of them are very popular, have many friends on Facebook or Instagram. But most don't have anything of great depth. That's the bad news. The good news is that can change really easily. All it takes is a few people who are committed to being deep and authentic and to letting each other in. People are craving deep community where they can be real and be really known. Who really knows you? Who knows what you're excited about? What your dreams are in life? Who knows what your greatest struggle is right now? And who are you pouring into? Who are you going deep with? You know, Michael W. Smith once said that transformation happens when people start investing in other people. So we need to connect with others. And thirdly, the third thing that I'm learning is how incredibly amazing life can be when we connect with God's mission. With God's mission. You know, I used to think that prayer was a way of getting things from God. Kind of like a holy vending machine. You know what I'm talking about? You put some prayer in and hopefully you get something sweet out. Right? Has anyone like me like that? No, good, I'm glad because I'm a mess. But God has been teaching me that prayer is not about getting stuff. Prayer is one of the ways that God invites us to join him in what he's already doing. God is doing something really huge. Jesus calls it his kingdom, and I'm seeing more and more of God's kingdom coming every day. I'm seeing people's lives changed, and I'm seeing more and more people joining God in his mission. And it's so exciting. And in God's kingdom, God has a part for everyone to play. God has a role for everyone. Kind of reminds me of the story of how Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger were auditioning for roles in a movie about classical musical composers. Stranger movies have been made. Anyway, both of them really wanted to be Mozart, right? Because who doesn't? But Stallone kept insisting, and finally Schwarzenegger gave in because he didn't want the relationship to get too rocky. Okay, you're with me. So with that settled, you know, the director said to Schwarzenegger, "Well, if he's Mozart, who do you want to be?" And Schwarzenegger thought about it for a moment, and you know what he said? He said, "I'd be Bach." Okay, if you don't get that, thank you, Curtis. Curtis will explain that later if you did not get that joke. Sink in for a second. Here's the point. In God's kingdom, everyone has a role. Everyone has a gift. Everyone has a superpower that's just waiting to be unleashed. I believe that God has infused us all with kingdom potential. Now, I don't know what God wants to do through you, but I do know that he's just waiting for you to come to him so that you can join him on his mission so that he can unleash your superpower. You know, being on mission with God is so exciting. How cool is it to be part of something so big and so meaningful that it is going to have an eternal impact? The stuff we do now is going to last forever, friends. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are what? The workers are few. Do you think God might be calling you to be a kingdom worker? What would that look like for you? What do you need to do to join God on his mission? What team is just waiting for you to join so that you can use your superpower for good? Or where is God's kingdom just waiting to break through in your life? Connect with God's mission. I promise you, you'll never regret it. Well, we've got an old slogan at Geneva House, and we like to say, go deep and go out. Will you say that with me? Go deep and go out. We want to go deep with God, we want to go deep with others, and we want to go out and live missionally. My dream for all of us here is that we would go deep and we would go out. That we would all see the huge potential that God has infused us with. And that just like Izzy's hair, God's kingdom would spread out through us like crazy. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you are doing. God, we don't always see it, but you are working. You are bringing about your kingdom. You're inviting people to go deeper. You're bringing change and transformation. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would bring that change and that transformation into each one of our lives. Whatever that means for us, Lord. We pray that you would take us deeper in our relationship with you. Take us deeper in our relationship with others. And take us deeper into that mission you have for our lives. Build your kingdom in us and through us, we pray. In the power of your name, Jesus. Amen.